So when you were at SEMA, did you get a chance to check out the Built by Legends resto mod that they put together?
You talking about the Blue R34?
Yes.
So I didn't get to see it directly. I had some people show me some pictures of it. I mean, the Built by Legends stuff is cool.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely a fanboy wish list.
I just love the uniqueness of it because you have a true snapshot of everybody in Japan developing that car, because it's all homegrown. All the guys that they're using to recreate the parts are being manufactured there. I believe Garage Yoshida is doing all of the bodywork, paintwork. Yeah. They're doing, they're pulling them apart, restructuring them, taking out all the rust, fixing those problematic areas that Nissan had with the original cars.
Yeah.
It kind of brings me back to the resto mods in the American car culture. And that kind of dedication to take what was previously underperforming or the weak points in the vehicle,
okay,
and bring them up to a modern and a better quality standard.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I struggle a little bit with the term restomod, because when I think of restomod, I always think of like what our parents did with with old Camaros and Novas and Mustangs and stuff like that of their age, right? Like those muscle car type things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's exactly what's happening now, right? We're obviously doing those things. And, the question always comes out with a resto mod to me is, where's the definition kind of lose the line, right? If so, on a resto mod, is it the idea that you're replacing inferior parts or parts that could have been greatly improved on and using the aftermarket source? Or are you trying to almost make things better but keep them time period correct? Like there's this weird aura of, and I don't know that there's any necessarily formal definition, but still, right?
I feel like there you get that feeling of where if it goes too wild or if it's gone too extreme, us as car guys will look at it and be like, that's a hot rod, that's no longer a resto mod. They've kind of pushed that outside of that window.
Is the definition by feeling? Is it a feeling thing? Because here's where I struggle, right? Like, I mean, like you even brought up, the Built by Legend cars. So I listened to it. If you really, for the people that don't know the Built by Legends crew, there's a great podcast that actually took place at SEMA this past year, where it's Racer Magazine. And they did... They had both Katsu and Masa on, and they talked to them, kind of gave the whole story, like what was the inspiration behind it, who do they work with, how did they get there, the different things a year. And I mean, look, don't get me wrong, what they're doing is super awesome. And I think if you're a really Japanese fanboy, it's even better.
Yeah.
Right? Like the equivalent to me, but slightly different, is what Nissan allows you to do through Nismo, when you could theoretically provide them with your, R32, 33, 34, and they'll restore it back to, brand new factory condition, yep. Right? So the difference with the Built by Legend stuff is that they're essentially working with a team of
craftsmen.
Japanese
craftsmen.
Well, but you could say, and I agree with you. I don't want to that's not a disagreeing statement, but I agree with you. But also, like, understand that there's other companies involved in it because they like the idea of being able to bring things, to these builds. And, look, I get a lot of their inspiration. I think a lot of their inspiration was there was a lot of these cars getting exported for a while that were leaving in absolute wretched conditions, right? And so the idea is, like, can they take these cars and make them, even better than they ever were? Whatever. But with that comes a very high expense, because you're building a very one-off type of, cultured car, right? Yeah. And I think that doing that is an extreme luxury because it's expensive. But yeah, man, they're working with like Garage Yoshida.
Mines.
Well, Mines.
Is doing all the engine work.
Yeah, I think in some cases, I think they're, they're sourcing things through like HKS and a lot of different things.
Yeah, I believe they're using the HKS 2.8 liter stroker kit on pretty much every single one of the engines that Mines is building. Moon Eyes is doing the carbon fiber work, I believe. I think that was who it was. There's a whole bunch of companies involved. I mean, the list of it's about 9 or 10 different
suppliers.
But the most interesting one that I found was their interior design team are former Honda technician or Honda design interior design engineers for Honda.
Yeah.
And they put a team together, and that's the team that they use to develop the interiors for the Built by Legends cars.
So I don't know. I don't know a tremendous intricate amount on, you know, any of them, but I do know that, like, you know, like Katsu is the one that was basically doing more of the design aspect element. And, you know, Masa was, like, obviously involved with, you know, really cultivating the relationships, the partnerships, looking for spec things, different things. And it's cool because they've gotten some pretty large companies on board, even for things like interior and stuff like that, like all the fabric that they're sourcing. So I think all of it's very cool. But, you know, I also, that's not your average Restomod, right?
No. there are cheaper ones. I mean, that's a $500,000 car. I mean, that is the that's the Gran Turismo car checklist. That is, you know, I think we all kind of had those moments in time growing up where we watched the videos with the Mines R34 racing around Tsukuba, right? I think it was Tsukuba or Fuji, you know, racing other cars. And that's kind of burned into our memory, or at least in mine, I should say. And to be able to have that is $500,000 too much to ask for a car of that build quality.
You know, this, I mean, to me, that's a whole other separate thing. I just, you know, look, I mean, there's a lot of cars, I think, that, you know, nowadays are restomods. I struggle with the term restomod because I don't know where one stops and when the other one starts.
So, right? Isn't a good example. So I have a example, MZR Roadster, Road Sports, MZR Road Sports. They are, I believe, in the north of England. Now, what's really interesting about them is they're importing 240Zs, 260s, 280s, you know, the S30 platform over from the U.S. into England because they had such a limited amount come in that they're bringing them in and they're doing a restoration on them, turning them into a fuel-injected motor, going through the car, doing all the body work. You know, they have a whole, like, tier system set up. So you can go from mild to wild. But pretty much all of them have that, the creature comfort upgrade of like modern fuel injection and better braking systems. And, you know, so you're not sitting there on drum brakes running around with carburetors on the side of it and all the paint bodywork has been done and all the bushings are refreshed and, you know, you're not starting that build yourself. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really the big difference between the resto mod and the OE, you know, the guy who's just modifying a car because when you pick up a chassis and the chassis's been gone through and all the you know, design angles have changed in the way that they put, you know, sometimes they'll do like the cantilever strut system on some of these cars, or they'll upgrade to a full coilover and get rid of the, you know, modified McPherson on some of the setups and things like that. It's very interesting to see what they go through and change, because I think that's that whole part of the mod side of the resto mod, is that we're changing engineering points or changing things about the vehicle to make them more modern and more usable.
So that's it. So you just identified the exact point where I struggle with restomod.
Okay.
Because to me, I'm not saying by definition. I mean, by definition, obviously, anytime you're restoring something to a point with modifications, like that's what the whole point is, right? Like, it's not a restoration. But, like, with a restomod, like, I do think, like, obviously, you know, the idea of using, you know, parts that may have been better or making these improvements that we, you know, quote-unquote improvements over what came with the car originally, I think it's, like, it's cool because you have a lot of aftermarket support. You look at Japanese cars and even its own, you know, kind of respective nature there, right? But I think that the part that I always struggle with is when you use the first term resto, how far or how much of that has to remain for it to be a resto mod? And here's what I mean. Would you think Singer Design, that does the Porsche stuff, is that a resto mod?
See, for me, Singer is. See, okay. When you get into Gunther Works, they're not. And that's because they're not using a VIN car, or, you know, they're not, there's nothing that they're starting from in that regard.
So you feel as long as the VIN retains, that that's a restomod.
Or at least most of the chassis. Like, if we're going through and you're taking an original car and you're putting it on a rotisserie, stripping it off, cleaning everything, repainting, making the repairs, going in and you're taking that original car and making it into something better. That's the restoration process of that restomod to me. And then you go, okay, we've done the restoration. Now, what are we changing to make it better?
Okay, but like, you look at a Singer vehicle. Most of the parts that they put on the car are, they spec themselves. They've had built by outside companies, whatever it may be, to obviously improve what they were or to bring them into a more modern type of feel or look or function. And then in addition to that, they're speccing out completely custom things. I mean, you, custom paint jobs, custom this, everything with them is, you know, this, you know, very intricate detail type thing, but they're building a vehicle that was far from what it originally was. So to me, the reason I don't think that that's a resto mod is because, to me, you could have a VIN, you could have the original body, but when you get certain, when you get past a certain point where you're almost, you're not really restoring anything, you're kind of building a brand new vehicle out of the old shell, I don't think that's a rest. Like, the resto part to me is that you're bringing something back to its former glory. But the mod part is that you're going to be able to use aftermarket parts to, you know, inch up or level up or do some other things, right? But, like, let's go back to the old school example. Like, I mean, you know, when I think of resto mods, like, it wasn't the car that was fully tube chassis, you know, tube chassis back half cars.
Would you consider the Singer cars more like a pro mod? Like, as if we were going from that,
when I hear those terms, I think racing.
Yeah, I get that, but the Singer car is more than capable on a racetrack.
Well, I understand, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When I hear those different types of things, all I can think about is racing. But, like, as far as the Singer cars go.
Not that pro. I might be using the wrong term.
No,
what's the one that's like, they do all of like the modern underpinnings and they use them on like autocross events? I'm thinking of the wrong, it's not pro mod then. I'm thinking of the wrong thing. Pro mods are the drag cars.
Yep.
I'm thinking of the wrong term.
Doesn't matter. So anyway. So but the point I guess I have is that, like, when it comes down to a lot of these vehicles, like, to me, like, Singer is, you know, almost in an OE class. It really is. Like, when you look at what they're doing, they're almost selling you their own vehicle. It's not, to me, it's not the same anymore. Now, I also feel that way. Like, for example, obviously, I think this will kick it over the edge, but let's say you take an SW20 and you K-swap it. But you put everything back into the car, interior-wise, that makes it look perfectly stock appearing. And you paint the car and you do everything in the car to keep it perfectly stock exterior. You throw a set of coilovers on, adjust the ride height, put a set of wheels and tires on it. That's your exterior. It looks exactly like an MR2. It is an MR2.
100%.
But I put a K-swap in it. Is it a resto mod?
No.
Why?
So to me, it's not. You're just...
No, I'm asking. Because
a set of coilovers and engine swap doesn't make a build. It doesn't... And a set of wheels wouldn't be a resto mod. It wouldn't rise to that level.
Well, I guess... All right. Hold on a second. What I'm saying is... Let me clarify.
Full body work.
You strip the car down to its chassis. You did all this different stuff, right? You made sure that... Let's say you had the thing acid dipped, painted, brand new paint job inside and out. Obviously, when I start thinking about interior, I think there's a limitation to what you can do. But, like, let's say you basically get this car looking like, for the most part, 90% looking exterior-wise and interior-wise, like this is a car that potentially... came off the showroom floor, but it's got coilovers, so it's lowered and it has set an aftermarket wheels and tires.
Yeah, if you did all that and made
it
to that level,
and you put a K-swap in it.
Why not? You're changing the powertrain. So there's plenty of LS you know, LS powered
yep.
resto mods out yep. there.
Okay.
There's EcoBoost powered resto okay. mods, you know.
But I'm not debating about cars that have existed that fall into these terms. I'm telling you my my issue with them, right?
Yeah.
My issue with the term.
But I would still find that as a resto
okay,
mod.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. That GTR that we're talking about, the Built by Legends.
Yep.
Let's put a VR38 in there. Yep. Still a resto mod?
Correct.
I think so.
Yes, because all of the other workmanship still rises to that level where they're going mm. to meet or exceed OE quality in the production of the car.
Okay.
So for me, that kind of feels more of that restoration process is still taking place.
All right.
Still can be the engine
and
spot.
If I put a 2J in it?
Sacrilege, but yes.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
I would still allow. So the motor swap. So.
It, so you don't think
because the precedent that's been set for so long by okay. other cars that the powertrain really isn't the yes, it's the heart of the vehicle. Don't get me wrong.
I understand,
but it doesn't fall short of falling into the modifications or allotted category.
I just struggle. I struggle with the term resto mod when we start talking about things that are we're not really restoring. Now the built by legends stuff. I would even say borders on that term because it's a resto mod. It is. I agree with you 1,000% on that car. On the stuff they're doing, they are improving. You would look at that car for the untrained eye and be like, this is how it came-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's very easy for it to trick the eye into thinking that the
car is... This is just a very, very polished
yep.
OE specimen.
Well, you had...
it's not.
You had Larry Chen looking at the R33, and he's looking at the front bumper, and he couldn't tell that it wasn't a stock front bumper with a yeah. lip on it. It was actually a full carbon fiber one piece bumper.
Yeah.
So, and that man is trained. You know, his eye is very well trained. He can't tell, then the average person, like someone like me, as a car drives by, is never going to know the difference between that and, say, another R33.
Right. And this is something that's been happening on the domestic American side for decades,
yeah.
right? And it's no different than the guys at, like, Condigate Design, where they go and they basically make these incredibly, you know, crafted bumper, everything that feels like it should be like stock, but you just can't put your finger on it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, they shorten them, they tuck them, they move them around, mm-hmm. they take... You know, yep. okay, this is from a 67, but we're going to add this 69 piece to it, and it kind of...
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. I think that's where you really start to see that craftsmanship of where it rises to the level of being like the resto mod shop versus just a performance shop or just a race
that's
shop.
That's fine. Right, because you have a modified build,
yep.
or you have, like you said, this resto mod, or you have the complete polarizing upper end of... restoration, which to me would be the Nismo Heritage type program where you're able to...
I don't find that to be a resto mod.
No, me either.
I feel that
that's restoration.
Straight restoration.
That's a restoration.
And obviously, if you do like the club sport upgrade, you know, the club sport racing mm-hmm. upgrades and stuff like that, that's a performance upgrade on a restored car, not a resto mod.
So I think there's a couple instances where the line really gets blurred. I think what you said, anything that would have... If you can buy something or pay for something at Nismo and they can do it in a sense of while they're restoring this car, to me, I feel like it's completely restoration. It's okay. It's factory allowed.
It's restoration.
Allowed. It's factory allowed.
It's not modded. See, to me, if they were to say, instead of putting a Nismo engine in and they turned around and said, oh, we're going to put a VR38 in, that starts to rise to that level where, okay, where are we drawing that line? If it's got a full set of, you know, dialed in, because, you know, they've put KW coilovers, they've had, or Aragostas or something along those lines. I'm sure they've used aftermarket components on
Wait,
some of the
cars. You mean the Nismo stuff?
No. No, I meant on the mine stuff, they had Aragostas.
Oh, right. Right.
And
okay.
they didn't use the factory coilovers or factory suspension or anything like that. They went in and did full custom off suspension. With Nismo, you're still using Nissan designed and
because
Nismo
it's a restoration.
Because it's a restoration. That's yeah. why I'm sorry. I spoke over myself on
yeah,
that
yeah.
one. But yeah, no. So that's where that differentiation arises, that maybe Nissan putting another Nissan engine doesn't rise to that level of even being a mod at that point or resto mod at that point because it's still just a resto with an engine swap. So that's the weird thing. I don't know. Cars, it's so different.
I think, I don't know if it's so different, but like I do think, like, you know, when you start to dive into this, there's some interesting builders out there, right? Like, I mean, like, but you look at Singer, and I think that that falls outside of Restomod. I think that's almost in its own category.
Bespoke custom build. Like, how do you kind of categorize that at that point?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I almost think that they're their own vehicles. Like, that's how.
But don't they still have a Porsche Vent? Like, I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, they're still a Porsche.
I think so. I'll be honest with you, though. Like, I don't know all the details. I'm not super intimate with exactly what they do, but I've been around some of those cars and seen how much engineering goes into parts that they're putting on the car, and realize that this isn't just as simple as everything they bring in is to spec, right? They're not actively searching the shelves out of a part catalog to put things back in, right? They're developing so much stuff. So when you do that, you're starting to leave. Once you have your own OE part number that you can't, you know what I mean? Like, I think you're leaving that point. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. That's a good call. It'd be interesting to see what maybe some people listening or watching feel. Like, is Singer Design has it transitioned more into an OE place, or is it still really just a Restomod company?
I mean, that's going to be a big question.
Hate that chair.
Every time. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic for us to start to see how it's also going to develop over time, because these cars are becoming older.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot more restoration needed. Like, you know, real quick, we can, you know, we'll have to figure out where to add it in. But the Built by Legends even had done the Spoon Hondas. So they actually did... they worked with, I believe, I don't know the gentleman's name that runs Spoon, but they worked with him to develop a full custom exhaust manifold that's never been used on any other car. And they built, you know, all this technology around it, moved everything around, and they worked to build this Spoon, you know, built Honda.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know, oh, there it is. He's got it up there. But to me, that's highly modified to be a Restomod. And that's the weird thing to me, is that it still falls in that category where you still have that JDM culture building it, and it's still those same teams. But to me, that's far more wild than the ones that are the Restomods, like the R34s and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's interesting to see, because, you know, even whether you like him or you don't like him, what Tommy Effia was doing with some of these GTRs and stuff like that. Like, you know, I mean, they're bringing them back. Like, I think that Tommy Effia does, you know, at least on the surface. Here's the reason I keep saying that is because I know that there's a lot of people that either like him or don't like him, right? I don't know him personally. Met him, I think, once or twice. He was obviously cool, you know, in person. But, you know, whether you like him or you don't like him, I think his work, and for me as a viewer of what he does in a lot of sense, I think his work is pretty fantastic. You know, like, he really encompasses the body of what the car should have been. He tries to restore a lot of pieces that were, you know, kind of should have been on the car. Re-zinc coating a lot of lines and different things like that. But then not doing things that he knew were prone failure issues, or, you know, upgrading them to the different parts, you know, using some brands that may not be, how do I say this? I want to say this the right way. Maybe not using the brands that are the absolute best in performance, but going with the brands that he felt really encompassed performance and the Japanese tuning culture, right?
Okay.
He uses a lot of HKS parts, right? You know, he uses, and there's a reason for it, and I get it, right? Like, it's because he's not just building you a restored car. He's giving you a restored car with the power level that you want, but it's not about making it to the best performing thing. Like, if there's let's say there's another turbo that's way more efficient, it's not about that as much as it's also about getting the performance out of the car, but then staying within this kind of, you know, idealistic Japanese thing that you could have went to one of these tuning houses and picked this car up and felt like you had a very, very clean example of this car, but it had, you know, advanced power levels and modifications and stuff like that. I think he does a really great job. I mean, I think, you know, for what it is. I can't comment on his individual work. I've never owned a car from there, nor have I, you know, been witness to all the things he does. But it's pretty like, you know, along the lines, at least on the surface level, of what I would have wanted to do if I was restoring or, you know, building one of those cars, you know? I find it to really be a lot of the way that I think. What was fun for me, and you'll appreciate this maybe, I don't know, was he got like a 350Z at one point just to play around with.
Okay.
And so he titled it on that video, like, the best, is this the best OEM plus 350Z on the internet? Now, I wanted to selfishly throw my car up there and be like, no, I think I have that. But but you understand what he did. He took the 350Z. He put the Juke RS Nismo seats, or either that or the 370Z Nismo seats, into the car.
Yep.
I think he went with I think it was a, was it a Gretti brake kit? That's the car. Nismo steering wheel,
LMGTs,
yeah, like all the good stuff. So, and the brakes are on the car. I don't want to say that, I think they were Gretti brake kit, but it was just a really good build, really clean, really OEM plus type stuff, you know, using, you know, and I think he uses that same mentality. When I think of OEM plus, I'm thinking about keeping the OE bones and stuff like that. Yep. Is it Gretti?
Yeah, I believe so, and I think KW coilovers, it looks like.
Yep. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, Gretti.
No, I'm talking about the coilovers. But yeah. Anyhow, I'm not sure. But so anyhow, so bottom line is, yeah, they look like them, but I don't know. Anyhow.
Anyway.
So the point is that, like, you know, OEM plus to me is that thing where you're taking the original thing and you're kicking it up a notch. And many times the OEM plus comes to me by using parts that are of the same manufacturer, but maybe from different cars. We did it a lot when I was younger, you know what I mean? You'd have a DSM, use a 3000 GT VR4 brakes, you know, you weren't buying an aftermarket brake kit, right?
Well, I mean, that's Z32 brakes on 100%. S chassis.
Yep.
And then
same thing.
I run 370Z brakes on my G37.
Right, because now the Acabonos are a great upgrade for 350Zs too, right? So yeah, same type of thing, right? And then, you know, like, I like the idea of using the Juke RS Nismo seats or the 370Z Nismo seats in the cars, and I like the idea of, you know, maybe getting some time period correct Nismo stuff, and I just think that there's a lot of cool features of doing that stuff, so, and I kind of like bounce a little bit right on that edge. But
if you're not taking the car through a body process, and at that point, to me, that's just an OEM plus build, and doesn't rise to a resto.
But right, and I was never saying he was. Oh. I wasn't saying that was a resto. But he does. I'm just saying that's the quality of his build. I'm kind of in on that type of stuff. And I think that when it comes down to the resto mod part that I was talking about with him, with a lot of the, you know, the GTRs and stuff that he does, it's like, and I don't want to have too much conversation about this one guy, but like, he does. He'll reshoot the engine bays to get everything cleat. They strip everything out, right?
Yep.
Is he doing the whole car? Maybe not, right? I guess depends on what somebody will pay him for. But and so I think that really encompasses what a resto mod.
Oh, from what that sounds more in line with the resto mod process that you could see yourself doing versus what these one-off shops are doing, where you're buying.
And that's why I just think that resto mod's at another level, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're actually making stuff to change the stock part, you're not restoring the stock part, you're making the stock part different, or you're enhancing the cosmetic quality of the stock part. It's like a resto mod plus.
I mean, I guess we could make a whole new category up for for it and just call it resto mod plusing, and that would be a whole new trend that they've never heard about before.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we'll leave it out to some people out there to kind of let us know what they think. For those of you that are listening, let us know what you think. What's the term of a resto mod? How far can it go? Is a company like Singer Design a resto mod company, or they have crossed over into being their own brand, even though their very first starting point may be something of, you know, that would have been a different vehicle, right?
Yep.
interesting to see what people think about the stuff and how it applies. And when you start to answer some of these comments yourself and put them in down below, think about this for a second. Is it end up being one of those things where, you know, it applies, let's say, to the Japanese cars that were resto modding today, but would it have been the same for the resto mods that maybe our parents, or even, you know, in some cases for some people now, our grandparents would have done, where they're taking, you know, 60s Mustang, you know, 60s vintage Mustangs and Camaros and all these different things, and they're bringing them to that resto mod status that those guys would consider resto mod, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the real crux of the argument, is at what point do we draw that line, and was that line different for the domestic vehicles than what it's going to be for the Japanese vehicles?
I don't know. And again, I don't think it really matters, because it's not like, you know, you, if you check the box resto mod or if you do this, it changes your value one way or another.
No, not at all.
But I think the inherent perceived value changes, and maybe some of the meaning behind the car. It's interesting, though. These Built by Legends guys, I mean, they're doing some really cool stuff. I think if nothing else, you know, you're getting a car that obviously was cared for by a lot of people, and you're kind of bringing together a lot of the, like, the legends within that culture to kind of cultivate one vehicle. Yeah. And that part's really cool. So I don't know. Maybe we should do the same thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Get a whole bunch of 2000s car culture guys together, right, and build some cars.
I'd rather do that. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Good. Good luck with the wheels, guys. We're going to build cars, right? Anyhow, we'll catch you on the next one.
Peace.
Thank you.